All right, if you have your copy of God's Word this morning with you, I hope you do. Turn with me to Psalm 146. Going to take a little breath out of 1 Corinthians. We've come to a good little weekly pausing point. Paul's been addressing the things that he's heard from some of the members in the Corinthian church. And next we're going to see he's going to start addressing a letter that he's received from the Corinthian church. So we're going to take a little break before we start into chapter 7 next week. And what better breath to get than to go to the Psalms? I love preaching the Psalms. I haven't been in them in a while. So I thought we'd go to Psalm 146 this morning, see what the Lord has to say in His Word. Psalm 146. Let's give our attention to it as it is due. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Let's ask the Lord that he would bless his word to us this morning. Almighty God, as we have seen from the beginning of this service, as we heard from your word in opening, there is power in your word. You speak and things come to be. Lord, you have given us your word, living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. We pray, Lord, that you would be at work in our very hearts, be at work in this body by your word this morning. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to know the glorious truths of your word. Cause us to see you, perhaps in a way we've never seen you before this morning, because of your word. Draw us nearer to you. Lord, open our eyes to you. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the Word made flesh. We pray that you would be glorified and exalted in your Word. Holy Spirit, would you guide us and lead us by your Word this morning? In the name of Christ, we ask and pray these things. Amen. I want to start this morning with all of you using your imaginations. Some of you may, this might be easier if you've actually done this before, but I want you to imagine you're going deep sea fishing. So you're in a little boat, and you're heading out into the ocean, you're leaving the coast of North Carolina, heading to the Gulf Stream. The further away you get, the smaller the beach gets, the smaller the lighthouse or the cell towers get. And eventually you see nothing around you but water and sky. Just water and sky, no matter where you look. And as you go out, you don't really notice you're moving too much because your boat's going pretty fast, but then you start to rest because you're going to put lines in the water. And what's the boat doing? It's rocking side to side. Not only is it rocking side to side, but it's also bobbing as it rocks. Okay? And a couple hours in, the winds pick up, the weather changes, and it becomes a little more violent. And you thought you kind of had your sea legs going, but the rougher the waves get, the larger the swells get, the more your stomach gets queasy, the more your head begins to hurt, the dizzier you get, and perhaps you end up in the cabin with a trash can the rest of the trip. Right, what happens to so many people who are not used to that environment, being out to sea that way? What happens when they experience this rocking, this tossing, this bobbing up and down? They get seasick. Right, we get seasick, motion sickness. And there's all kinds of advice that people are going to give you for this. They'll say, take Dramamine the night before and the morning of. The first mate on the boat's going to tell you, get some tobacco smoke, that'll help you out. But what's one thing everybody's always going to say? Keep your eyes on the horizon. Look to the horizon, and that will help you when it comes to seasickness. Right? Put your eyes and set your focus on the only stable thing around you, that line off miles away where the sky and the water meet. Why is that helpful for motion sickness or for seasickness? doing a little bit of research trying to figure that out, and they say the problem with motion sickness is the receptors of the eye and the receptors of the inner ear send mixed signals to the brain. Right? The eye says we're going up. The inner ear says we're going down to the right. The brain says, I don't know what to do, and your body stops functioning the way it's meant to. So again, eyes going up, ears going down. We're thrown all out of whack. We become disoriented. That's what seasickness or motion sickness is. It's the disorientation of our bodies. This morning, I want you to think about this idea of disorientation. Perhaps some of you get motion sickness. Think about how your body becomes so disoriented. And I want you to ask yourself, how well does this idea of disorientation fit with your life, perhaps even today? Right? How disoriented is your day-to-day schedule? Perhaps how disoriented are your emotions, the way you respond and react to things? Even your day-to-day bodily functions, perhaps. How disoriented are things? Perhaps the easier question to ask is simply, how unstable do you feel that your life is today? The more and more I speak with people, the more and more people I come across today, it seems like so many people feel this horrible instability in life. Right? Life is out of control. Life is racing forward or sideways without me. I'm just along for the ride with little to no control, little to no idea of what's even going on. Right? So often we want to ask the question, are we coming or going? We don't know. Are we happy? Are we sad? Do we have purpose? Are we useless? Do I want this? Do I want that? Just try to get a family to agree on where to eat any given night. Church, think about the turbulence of this life. Its highs, its lows, all the lateral movements we have going on. And now combine that with a fallen world, with sinful hearts, with wrong emotions, with sinful reactions, with self-preserving instincts, worldly distractions. Put it all together, and what do you have? You have the perfect storm. Right? The perfect storm raging around this little boat that we call our lives, and it tosses us wherever it wants. Brothers and sisters, so many people today have a problem. Even within the church, many have a problem. That problem is we've become horribly disoriented in our lives. Horribly disoriented where our priorities and our perspectives are concerned. Again, because of sin. Because of the distractions of this world, most folks really cannot tell up from down, left from right anymore. How many of us spend the bulk of our lives spinning in circles, trying to guess which way to go, fighting with others over the proper direction of things? How many of us neglect or perhaps even willfully reject that one and only true point of reference that exists in this universe? Christians, most if not all of us, we have fallen into the trap of ignoring the horizon. And what I mean by that is to some extent we are all guilty each and every day of taking our eyes off of God Himself. How often do we cease to look to Christ in all things, in any and all circumstances, and like a pilot, think about this, who's in a plane cockpit ignoring the horizon, how often do our lives end up in a tailspin? Right? Spiritual tailspins, physical tailspins, sadly so often sinful tailspins. This morning, I want us to look at Psalm 146, and I want us to see it as a psalm that gives us the clear answer of how to solve this problem that I'm calling the seasickness of life. Now, Lord willing, for some of you here today, you're going to hear Psalm 146, and it's simply going to be a helpful and encouraging reminder. Right? Keep your eye on the horizon. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Do not be distracted with the trials and the disturbances of this life. Look constantly to Christ. Praise the Lord. Remember His goodness. Remember His power. However, because of the state of things today, I have no doubt personally there are several in this room of us who need to hear Psalm 146 as much more than just an encouragement or just a helpful reminder. Perhaps several of us here today need to hear Psalm 146 this morning like a siren in the airplane cockpit telling us we are spinning out of control, telling us to get the wings straight, telling us to look to the horizon, to look to the Lord. Y'all, countless Christians, countless church bodies today, they are in desperate need of genuine reorientation in their lives and in their focus. Does this resonate with any of you? How many times do perhaps you say yourself that our problem in life is we're just too busy? My problem in life is just that there's not enough time in the day. I'm just overworked. Right? All of these different things. Church, those are not your problems. Those are consequences of your problem. If we're being honest, most of us actually have what some would call a worldview problem. At the risk of sounding cheesy this morning, I'm going to say what we actually have is a God view problem. How often do we attribute the chaos of our life to every psychological, every chemical, every medical imbalance that we can put on a prescription pad? But y'all, we do all of this and so many other things while we ignore the one and the only proper priority and perspective that God has told us to maintain in our lives. This is what Psalm 146 addresses. It calls us to focus upon the Lord. I'll summarize the whole psalm in one sentence. In all things and at all times, look to Christ and give Him praise. Christian, how often do you truly, genuinely look to God at all? Maybe you come to church once a week. Maybe you read your Bible throughout the week. Maybe you pray daily. I hope that's true of all of you. But tell me this, when you close your Bible, when you say amen and you end your prayer, when you walk out of those doors on Sunday afternoon, where does your focus go? Where does your attention go the rest of the week? Christians, is it any wonder that we live in a time, that we live in a day and an age where so many people, including believers, we live in a time and place where so many people, they are plagued with depression, with clinically diagnosed anxiety, with general attitudes of hopelessness and helplessness. Dear ones, we have to keep our eyes forever set on the one and the only true reference point for life, the one and the only point of genuine stability, which is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. In this psalm, we as God's people, we are told what it means to see our God for who He truly is. That's what we read in Psalm 146. And as we see who He truly is, we see why His being and His work must be our constant focus. 2 points for consideration this morning. First, the psalmist's priority in life. And second, the psalmist's perspective on life. First, look at the beginning of our psalm. The psalmist opens with the instruction, even we could say the scriptural command, to praise the Lord. People, this is the utmost and top priority of your very existence. Right? I say it all the time. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Praise the Lord. Glorify God with all your life, with all your being, it says. Ascribe to the Lord the glory that He is due. Dwell constantly on the perfections of the Lord, on His holiness, on His righteousness, on every aspect and reality of His very being. Notice that the psalm doesn't only open with this command, it closes with this command. Praise the Lord. You can go look at the next 4 psalms to the end of the book. They all open and close with the instruction, praise the Lord. Church, if you want proper direction in your life, if you want purpose in your life, if you feel that your life is out of control, that you can't catch your breath, that you have no focus or stability, I want you to think to yourself, what is your priority in life? Who is your priority in life? Do you even know? The psalmist says it must be praise. For the Christian, our life exists for Christ's glory. Our life exists for His honor, for His purpose. Church, this is what we have been called to do. This is what you have been saved to do. This is what we will eternally do in the new heavens and the new earth. So many people today, they want to do this when they die. They want this after this life, but right now you can't even get them to darken the door of the church, let alone if they come in, they're not going to move their lips and sing praises to the Lord if you held a branding iron to them. Church, if this is our purpose, if this is our goal, the goal of our very existence and being, then does it not make sense that we become horribly disoriented the moment that our lives begin to go contrary of this command and instruction? Right, the moment we fail to see our purpose, the moment we fail to see our calling of praising the Lord, when we fail to live for His glory, when we start living for our own, when we start living for this fleeting world, that's when everything gets knocked way out of alignment. You want to talk about true disorientation? That's when it begins. Answer this for yourselves. How much of the panic of this life? How much of the anxiety, we hear that word all of the time today, how much of even depression itself, the things that we find ourselves gripped by, controlled by today, how much of that could honestly be overcome by setting priorities straight, by putting the Lord where He belongs constantly in the focus of our lives? Consider the words of Christ Himself, Matthew 6. Seek first. Not at some point, not 1 hour a week. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. What things? The anxieties, right? What to put on, what to eat. The flowers are clothed, the birds eat. Does God not care much more for you? These things will be addressed. These things will be taken care of as needed. Christians, your utmost priority must be the Lord, His kingdom, His glory, His righteousness. And so the psalmist continues with his instruction, giving us even warning against misplaced priorities. Look at verses 3 through 4. The psalmist here warns us against the foolishness of looking to men for our help, just like I talked with the kids about. Looking to men for our salvation, looking to men for the answer to all of our problems. Beginning in verse 3, put not your trust in princes and a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. In other words, church, do not trust in those who cannot help you. Men die. And when they die, their intentions, no matter how good they are, die with them also. Church, stop living for the dying world. Y'all, how many people believe that the answer to their biggest problems in life, right, not just the little things, the biggest problems in life, they believe that they will be solved because a certain man or a certain woman sits in a certain office in Washington, D.C. Church, I do not care which side of the aisle you fall on, generally speaking. Regardless of who holds which office for however many years in any nation or in any capital city, the ultimate problems of this life are not going to change just because some mortal man has influence or holds a certain amount of power. There are definitely social benefits. There are political benefits to good governmental policy. I'm not saying we shouldn't be involved. Paul says we should submit to authorities, Romans 13. Don't hear me saying to withdraw from the world. However, consider this. The natural inclination of the fallen man is always to turn ourselves into attempt, excuse me, to turn to ourselves and to attempt to fix every problem by our own wisdom, by our own strength, and by our own power, when the psalmist makes clear we don't have any of those things. Verse 3, in man there is no salvation. In man there is no lasting, no ultimate hope. No policy of man, no philosophy of man, no medicine, no scientific discovery can or will genuinely address the core problems of a fallen world. Not one of these things is going to fix the sinful hearts of men and women. We can fight every war necessary. We can pass every bill through Congress. We can prescribe every medication in a pharmacy. But y'all, not one of those things addresses the broken and the sinful hearts that plague our lives. Not one of those things sets our focus on the Lord, where we find true and lasting purpose, peace, provision, rest, and joy. Not one of those things sets our eyes, not one of those things draws our longing hearts to the Lord Jesus, who alone works salvation for His people. Just like I said a minute ago, we have a God view problem. What I mean by that is so often we fail to look at the circumstances of this life. Some of them times, they're very dire, they're very serious. But we fail to see them through a God-honoring, God-centered biblical perspective. The psalmist shows us that our perspective, our view on all of life, it must begin with the understanding of who God is and how He alone is our true help in any and all circumstances. Notice the perspective of the psalmist as he calls us, the readers, to see the Lord of all creation, Almighty God Himself at work, even in the weakest people, even in the most dire trials, in the worst circumstances of life. Beginning in verse 5, running all the way to verse 10, the psalmist reminds the people of God who our God really is. Who is it that we serve? Who is it that we belong to? Who is it that loves and cares for us? And what a blessing it is to know him and to trust in him. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob. In other words, the psalmist is saying here, blessed is the man, blessed is the woman who has actually found real help. Beloved, the testimony that we bear, whether it be in our profession, with our mouths, whether it be the way that we live out our lives before a watching world, the testimony must be that we who are redeemed by Christ, we have found real power. We have found real love. We have found real help, real salvation in Almighty God, and it cannot be found anywhere else. Look at verses 6 through 7. Church, our trust is in the one who created all things. Our trust is in the one who is faithful at all times, who works real and lasting justice, who provides for the genuine needs of his people. And he does every one of these things without fail. Maybe you don't pick up on this right away. Verses 5 through 7, they're meant intentionally to contrast verses 3 and 4. Right? While men die, while their plans and their intentions die with them, the psalmist reminds us that the Lord, what? Lives. His plans and his purpose, his promises, they live with him forever, and every single one of them is seen through to absolute perfect completion. Now, church, look at verses 7 through 9. Hear what the will and the intentions of the Lord that last forever and that are completed, hear what this is. He sets the prisoner free. He opens the eyes of the blind. He lifts up those who are bowed down. He loves the righteous, watches over the sojourner, upholds the widow and the fatherless, and he brings to ruin the way of the wicked. This whole list that is emblematic of our weakness, emblematic of the helplessness of us in this life, it highlights our inabilities while at the same time doing what? Magnifying the Lord's strength, magnifying the Lord's power to overcome every single one of these weaknesses in these tragic states that we live in as fallen men, women, and children. Again, I recommend it this afternoon. You can do it now. Read through verses 7 through 9, understanding that it applies to you, the believer. I was bound and imprisoned to sin and hopelessness, but the Lord has set me free. I was blind, I was ignorant, I was unable to see truth and to see the glory of God, but the light of Christ has shone in my life, and now I see. I was arrogant, I was haughty, I was trusting only in myself and in other men and institutions. But because of Christ, I have been humbled, I have been brought low, and now the Lord raises me up in and with Christ. I live in a world where I'm a stranger, a pilgrim, where I am not at home. Enemies surround me on all sides. They seek my destruction, but the Lord watches over me. He protects me in all circumstances. Psalm 121. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber nor sleep. Church, what a difference this should make on the way we live our lives. What impact these realities should have when we live in them and with them, knowing them to be true. The psalmist goes on, even the weakest, the most vulnerable individuals of the ancient world, widows and orphans, they are upheld by the very hand of God himself. Beloved, as you live life, tossed each and every way by the waves of doubt, waves of temptation, wickedness, injustice, even despair itself, do not lose sight of the only one who has overcome it all. 6 times in this psalm, we see this phrase, the Lord does, dot, dot, dot. From Psalm 146, I want every one of you to see this morning how plainly the psalmist presents the Lord as the ultimate answer to all of life's turmoil. The things that we cause, the things that we generate because of our sin, because of our neglect and our rejection of God, only the Lord is the answer. First, it is the Lord alone who is our salvation. The Lord alone works justice against the wicked. The Lord alone truly loves and cares for you with a love and with a compassion that actually accomplishes true redemption and true restoration. Church, it is in the Lord, Christ Jesus alone, that sin has been punished, that wickedness has been punished, and that our righteousness has been secured. The Lord alone provides all that we need in this life and the life to come. Look at verse 10, it closes. It is the Lord alone who will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Church, when we read the Psalms, understand here that this applies to you. Your Lord, New Sterling, will reign forever. Christ reigns forever. There is no end to the love of God. There is no end to the help that He gives to His people. There is no end to the salvation that we have in Christ. And with that, church, there can be no end to our praise. Praise the Lord. As long as I have being, I will praise the Lord. Dear ones, do you live in this reality? Does the way you respond to the matters of life, yes, life is hard. Yes, life has stressors. If anybody tells you, come to Jesus and it will get easier and there will be no more hardship, find another preacher. The reality of life, because of sin, it is very difficult, but we have Christ the Lord who alone is our help and our salvation. Do you know this? If so, praise the Lord. If you don't know this morning, I implore you, know the glory, know the power, consider the grace and the salvation of the Lord Jesus. Whatever state your life is in at this moment, dear ones, there is help in the Lord. There is salvation, there is redemption for every sinner who will acknowledge their bondage to sin from which the Lord frees, who will acknowledge their blindness to righteousness, who the Lord opens eyes to see. Christ has died and risen for the salvation of His saints. And there is salvation in no other name. Perhaps more applicable to this body this morning, if you are a Christian, if you trust in Christ, and yet for some reason your life is still in a tailspin, maybe you're overwhelmed with uncertainty, again, anxiety, depression, distracted by the waves of a raging life, I encourage you now, prayerfully consider, where is it that you take your eyes off of the Lord? Where is it that you take your eyes off the horizon that is God Himself and you start to look at the waves or you look to yourself or the little boat that you're riding in? Right? Is it men? Is it women? Is it institutions? Is it medications? All of these things we turn to for help when only Christ can help in the ultimate matters. Church, Psalm 146 presents us with a snapshot of who our God truly is. Read this psalm and see His glory. And when you see His glory, praise Him accordingly. This psalm calls us to know His love, to know His care, to rest in the blessing of His being, His work, His eternal reign. Ultimately, this psalm calls us to behold the Lord your God and in all circumstances to adore Him, to praise Him, to trust in Him. Blessed is he whose hope is the Lord his God. Lord, would you teach us what it means to look to you in all things? Lord, all throughout the scriptures in the Old Testament, we see your people, they are directed upwards to gaze at different things, always pointing to Christ. Lord, on this side of the cross, would we look to you continually? Yes, knowing what you've done on the cross, securing our salvation, rising again from the dead, but would we know that you have ascended on high, that you reign here and now forever, eternally, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Give us the confidence, the trust, and the peace that we should have as your people in these very realities. Would we look to you and no one else for salvation, for true help, for calming in the storms of life. In the name of Christ our King, we pray. Amen.